You're listening to a message from Evangelist Jimmy Swaggart, taken from a live service at Family Worship Center and the Sun Life Broadcasting Network.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of St. Luke, written by the beloved physician, the man who, outside of the Apostle Paul, probably saw more of the beginnings of the early church than any other human being. He was a doctor, a physician. Of course, the question has been asked and the controversy raged, did he continue his medical practice? I don't know. It really doesn't matter. He gave us the great book of Luke that bears his name, the Gospel, the third Gospel. Plus, he wrote the great book of Acts as well. Luke chapter 4, beginning with the 15th verse. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth. Jesus came to Nazareth. Oh God, come to Baton Rouge. Come to Washington, D.C. Come to New York City. Come to Los Angeles. Come to Chicago. Come to Paris. Come to London, oh Lord. And he came to Nazareth. Hallelujah. I'm trying to get over that line. I can't get over that line. He came to Nazareth. And he's coming to some of your hearts too. I want you to know that. Where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book, really the scroll, of the prophet Isaiah. It was Isaiah 61 and 1. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, and the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance unto the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them who are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them who were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he said, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. I want to use for subject preaching a few moments, please. God's perfect plan of redemption. Would you bow your heads, please? Heavenly Father, as we have come before you this morning, and Lord, our hearts are glad for the joy that fills our soul. For there is nothing like your presence. It heals the sick. It saves the lost. It lifts men above the shadows, and it plants their feet on higher ground. We thank you, Lord. We thank you and give you praise and glory. And everyone said amen and amen. The year was 1940. The skies over London every night were black with German Heinkels and Messerschmitts and Focke-Wulfs. One particular night, after nearly 30 nights of being bombarded, London was ablaze. The bombs were falling, the screams of the dying and the wounded. Winston Churchill, the bulldog of the British Empire, stood looking at the boiling smoke and flames that came from 50 buildings. And in his heart, he said, oh God, I don't think we can make it. I don't see how that we can pull out over this. Then he looked down, and on one of the London churches, he saw the cross. Hallelujah. And he said himself, something said to me, as long as that cross stands, you will make it. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. It was a red letter day in Nazareth. The news had filled the hearts of hundreds in that little village for the last several weeks. Jesus of Nazareth, raised in their midst, brought up by Mary and Joseph. They heard the reports of the sick being healed, blinded eyes being opened, their fears unstopped, the cripples made to walk. And so the little synagogue this day in Nazareth was packed to capacity with scores standing outside looking in the windows. They didn't quite understand it. This was Jesus, the son of Joseph. He really wasn't, but that's what they thought. And they had seen him ever since he was old enough to walk, as he helped his father make plow yokes that would be used to cultivate the ground. They had seen him 6,000 times through the years, bringing a timber on his shoulder from the wooded areas close to Nazareth. They had watched him swing a mattock to cut the timbers to make the plow yokes. They couldn't put it together. This one that we've seen the sweat roll down his body and drip from his face, and yet he prays for the sick and they are healed. He touches blinded eyes and they are open. Crippled legs and they are made to walk. They couldn't quite comprehend it. Millions today cannot comprehend it. Jesus of Nazareth, yes, I'm sure he was a good man. I'm sure he was charismatic and had the gift of healing. But the Son of God, no, I can't really believe that. God manifest in the flesh, no, I can't believe that. That's where the world stands today. Jesus said, because they believe not on me. But ladies and gentlemen, he is the Son of God. He was and is God manifest in the flesh. He is the first and the last, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. A gale of spice has swept from heaven's door. He is the power of Almighty God. He is God. Glory to God. Never mind that he was born a woman, but I remind you, he was born of a virgin. He was not born as we were born in sin. The prophet Isaiah said, a virgin shall conceive. Don't you know they laughed him to scorn when he said that? A virgin shall conceive and shall bring forth a son. Methodist Church, it didn't say daughter, it said son. Why are you singling out the Methodists? Because they're having problems with that. It shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. God with us. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. And the angel Gabriel said to Mary, and they shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And he began to read from Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them who are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Some scholars say that that day, even though Israel had long since ceased to keep it, they were now under the Roman yoke. But when he said the acceptable year of the Lord, that day was the beginning of the year of Jubilee. Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Well, why was that so special? Because on that day, the doors to every jail was opened. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every prisoner went free. Every convict went free. Glory to God. You say, I don't see why that we should shout over that. Because you were once in that same condition, lost without God. But he opened the door for you to get out of that prison. And you shall call his name Jesus, Jesus, Yahshua, Yeshua. For he shall save his people from their sins. Then he said something that was like a hand that gripped them. This day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. They couldn't quite understand that. They knew what it meant. He was in essence saying, I am the Messiah. I am the one that Isaiah prophesied about. They couldn't put it together. And then he said something that angered them to a white hot pitch. He said, in the days of Elijah, there was a man who had leprosy, and his name was Naaman, and God healed him. And in the days of Elijah, there was a widow, a woman in the city of Zarephath. And oh, Elijah prayed for her, and a miracle took place in her life. And that barrel of meal did not waste, and the cruse of oil did not fail. Why would they get angry at that? Because Naaman was a Gentile. The widow woman of Zarephath was a Gentile. And he used as an illustration two Gentiles and said nothing about the Jews. And they gnashed their teeth. And they stopped his message. And they grabbed him by force. And took him to the top of the hill. I've been there. And would have shoved him over to his death. But the Holy Spirit said no. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Now I want you to look for a few moments at this tremendous statement that Jesus made. It's seven parts to it. which is God's number of finality, of perfection, of conclusion, of epitome. Seven statements, all of them are spiritual. Those statements, if you investigate them, and we'll just touch on them this morning, it deals with every problem of the human race. I don't care what your problem is. That which Jesus uttered that day in the prophecy Isaiah had given 750 years before deals with every problem. I don't know, you by television, what your problems are, but God knows. I don't know you in this audience. I don't know all the things that lurks in your heart. But when Jesus uttered that word and Luke printed it, glory to God, it answered my problem, my need, your problem, your need, the need of every human being. Washington doesn't have the answer. Paris doesn't have the answer. London doesn't have the answer. New York City doesn't have the answer. But Jesus Christ has the answer. Jesus Christ has the answer. Mr. Attorney General, who just resigned. You cannot solve the race problem with law. You can only solve it as Jesus Christ comes into that heart and changes that heart and life. Mr. President, you cannot solve the problems of America and of the religion of Islam by believing a lie. There's only one solution. One solution. One answer. And that is Jesus Christ, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, fairest of 10,000s, bright in the morning star. He said that day, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me. Now let's stop there for a moment. The Spirit of God is in essence, if I can say it correctly, the property, if we may use such terminology, of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who was anointed to set the captive free. If I have any anointing, or any of these preachers up here have any anointing, or any preachers anywhere else, we borrow it from Christ. It belongs to Him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I feel that, ladies and gentlemen. To be negative for about 1 minute. Any preacher who tells you he can give you his anointing, he doesn't have any to start with. Because that domain is in the domain of the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Every one of these great works of grace is what Kim sang about this morning. Were all made possible by the cross. Understand that. You say, couldn't Jesus do all of these things without the cross? Yes, He's God. He could do anything. But He will not do anything that's against His nature, His character, His perfect holiness. And what do you mean, Brother Swaggart? I mean that He cannot look at sin in a lackadaisical way and pass it off with a wave of the hand. It has to be paid for in full. If God is to retain His holiness and his perfection. So all of these great things, preaching the gospel to the poor, healing the brokenhearted, deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, set at liberty them who are bruised, preaching the acceptable year of the Lord, all are made possible by the cross of Christ. Now let me help you with something here. Some of you have heard me say it over television, and you will hear, if you live and I live, you'll hear me say it over and over and over again. And it's this: Jesus Christ is the source of everything we receive from God. Now, do you understand that? I'm sorry, Mr. Buddha, it didn't work. I'm sorry, Mr. Confucius, it did not work. I'm sorry, Mr. Mohammed, it did not work. But I know one who can do all things. Jesus Christ is the source of eternal life and forgiveness of sin.
Oh, glory to God.
Now, among Christians, we won't have much argument on that. Most will say yes. I remember holding two pictures in my hand some time ago that had been sent to us through the mail from a young Latino. One was before he was saved. He looked just about like some of you look before you were saved. I meant scrubby, a dope head, high on crack. That was his life. Then he had a second picture. Cleanly shaven, suit of clothes, a Bible under his arm. Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Glory to God. I'm talking about one who can change your heart and change your life. He told me in his letter, he said, I went to my sister. She was the only living relative left. And told her, I can't go on like this anymore. You see, sin will, it'll be a lark, an excitement at the outset. But once you're pulled in, it becomes a bondage of darkness that you cannot quit. I was talking to somebody, a lawyer, Friday. We were discussing this very thing, and the lady said, it's beyond the ability of the person to say no. They can't stop whatever that bondage is. I don't care how great a willpower they have, they can't do it. And all the rehab places in the world won't change it. There's only one deliverer. Just one. He told his sister, said, I can't live this way anymore. I'm taking every dollar I have and I'm going to buy crack cocaine with it. And he wouldn't tell her where he was going. He'd like to have killed her. She left him begging him to stop, and no use. She went to bed that night, got up about daylight. She hadn't slept all night. And she started thinking, he may still be alive, and where could he be? She thought of some cheap motels in a certain area. She knew he had gone there once or twice, and so she went to every one asking, is a man here? His name is. And finally she came to one and told the attendant, is there a man by the name of, and gave his name, registered in your motel? He looked at his book, said, yes, he is. She said, what room is it? He told her. She walked out of that front office, walked down to the number in that little motel, knocked on the door. She thought, surely he's dead by now. He'll not open the door. But he opened it. She looked at him. What happened? You're still alive? He said, yes. It was Sunday morning, incidentally. Sunday morning is coming. Glory be to God, Robert. Somebody ought to shout in this place. Yes. Glory. Glory.
My Lord.
He said, I was going to shoot up every bit of the cocaine I had. It's still there. I turned on the TV set early this morning. Glory! Glory, glory, glory. Pray, amazing grace. How sweet the sound. And he said something. He didn't say this, but that's what he said. Something got a hold of me. Praise God. Something got a hold of me. Oh, I went there to fight, but oh my, that night, something got a hold of me. And something will get a hold of you. Something will get a hold of you. You may go there to fight, but oh my, that night, something got a hold of me. And it's different now, since Jesus saved my soul. I said it's different now, since by his blood I'm whole. Well, Jesus rescued me, and now by his grace I'm free. Oh, it's different. Oh, so different now. Oh, well, mercy rewrote my life. Yes, thank God. I said his mercy, well, it rewrote my life. I couldn't have fallen, my soul cast way down. Oh, but mercy rewrote my life. Praise God. Thank you, Michael. Praise God. She said, what happened? I believe when the service is over today, some folk are going to ask you, what happened? What happened? Well, I'll tell you what happened. I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know. Oh, well, I know when Jesus saved me, that very moment he forgave me. He took away my heavy burden, gave me peace within. Satan tried to make me doubt it, but I'm going to shout it. I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know. Glory, glory. Oh, well, I know when Jesus saved me, That very moment he forgave me. He took away my heavy burden, gave me peace with him. Satan cannot make me doubt it. I'm gonna shout it. I was there when it and I guess I ought to know. Hey. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. What are you trying to do? I'm trying to get over the introduction to this message. Oh, well, I know when Jesus saved me, that very moment he forgave me. He took away my heavy burdens, gave me peace with him. Satan cannot make me doubt it. I want to tell you it's real, and I'm going to shout it. Hey, I was there when it happened, and I guess I ought to know. Thank you. Thank you so much. But don't go far. Don't go far. And he sent me a picture before he was saved and after he was saved. Somebody said, well, some of these don't look so hot now. You ought to have seen them before they came to Jesus. Praise God. Jesus is the source. Now, here's the next little statement to that. He's the source, and the cross is the means. You understand that? The cross is the means. Everything that we receive from God and everything we receive from him is good. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, the Father of lights. And the cross made it possible. I'm not talking about that wooden beam on which Jesus died. I'm talking about what he there accomplished. What did he do there at the cross? Number one, he atoned for all sin, past, present, future, for those who will believe. Hallelujah. We're gone at last. I said it's gone at last. Thank God my sins, they're gone at last. I had a long streak of that bad, bad time. But my sins, well, they're gone at last. Well, gone at last. Thank God at last. Won't tell you my sins. I'll go home at last. I had a long string of that bad, bad time. But my sins go home at last. Oh, well, gone at last. Praise God at last. I want to tell you my sins. You may be seated. Somebody said, you people, you sing a lot. There are seven major religions in the world. Christianity is really not a religion, but we'll use it in that capacity anyway at the moment. Seven major religions in the world. Oh, yeah. Young lady, hand me that songbook right under there. Thank you. The Lord's going to give you many songbooks for what you've done. When I was a kid, I don't know anything about now. I have no idea whatsoever. But when Francis and I first married, the number one songs in the nation were Hound Dog, Blue Suede Shoes. I know most of you don't even know what I'm saying. Long Tall Sally. Hurly Burly. Bully Woolly. But I'm going to tell you what my favorite song is. It's Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. It's Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. It's when my Lord is coming back to earth again. Glory to God. Well, gone at last. Thank God at last. Want to tell you my sin. Gone at last. I had a long streak of that bad, bad time. But my sin. Or go home. Glory to God. Christianity is the only faith that has anything to sing about. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I've just gotten I hadn't even gotten the introduction finished to this message. But I'm going to stop. You say, why? I'm tired. And I've already given you enough gospel this morning. And these singers have given you enough gospel this morning. My Lord, someday soon. Church, we're leaving. Going to a meeting around that throne. I'm going to shout. Troubles are over. Soon as I move to my brand new home. I'll admit, some of you call us. You say we're noisy. I'll admit, we come from a noisy crew. You see, we still shout when we get happy. Cause that's the way Holy Ghost-filled people still do. Oh, well, someday soon, church, I'm leaving. Going to a meeting.
Just one more time. Are you ready for that great day? Church, I'm leaving. We're going to shout our troubles over. Your neighbor, church, I'm leaving. Be back with us tonight, 6 o'clock. Don't miss another great service. You never know what's going to happen. We love you. God bless you. We'll see you tonight at 6 p.m.
We hope you were blessed by this message. This podcast is made possible by the generous support of people like you. To contribute to this work, please visit www.jsm.org or call 1-800-288-8350.